This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon, and we're honored to be part of WCNO Radio and what they're accomplishing up and down the Treasure Coast here. So we're glad to be a part of that. So we just welcome all of you listeners. Some of you probably listen every week, but there's some of you that may be listening for the very, very first time. So we trust you'll be blessed, not with what I'm doing, but what the Word of God says. We want you to know that the truth is in the Word of God. Amen. As you follow His Word, you can't go wrong. And so we trust that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would be saying to you today and all. And as we do, we know that you'll be blessed and you'll grow in the things of God because we're going to give you the Word of God. And I'll tell you right up front, we only use the King James Version Bible, nothing else. And so I believe this is the truth that God wants us to have. So before we start here, I wanted to give you our phone number. If you want to call us and order anything or just to talk to us, our number is area code 772, and the number is 285-7007, 285-7007.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. We might mention also we've been talking a little bit about our finances. And we told you that we've had some people already give, praise God. And if you'd like to help us out financially, one program costs us $165 for a week. Or if you want to do a half program, which would be half of that, you know. So whatever the Lord would show you, or $25, $30, whatever God tells you to do, if you obey Him, you'll be blessed, and we know that. And so we just ask you to consider that. And if you enjoy what you've been listening to, well, you can tell us how much you enjoy it by helping us stay on their air and support the program. And we've been on 21 plus years. And so July the 8th of this year now, it will be 22 years that we've been on WCNO Radio. So we love this station. We love what they're doing. And so God wants us to shout it from the rooftops about Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. He's our King, He's our Savior, He's our Redeemer, He's our Healer, He's everything. And so we spend our time talking more about Him than anything else.
Amen.
We are a prophetic ministry here. The church name is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we believe in the fullness of things in the Word of God. Plus, we've got a lot of things we've been robbed of. We have been the Jewish roots and the understandings that God gave the Jewish people that we've been blessed to be grafted into has been laid aside for hundreds of years, and a lot of places don't even want to talk about it. But this is our foundation, so God wants us to know that. And here we are now. We're coming up. We're this today is what, March the first. And so, or March the 2nd, I'm sorry. And so when we think about this, we're in the month now, we're going to have Purim coming up, and this is one of the years on the Hebrew calendar, 7 times every 19 years, they have to add an extra month to keep the seasons in the right place. So this year, we have Adar 1 and Adar 2. So Purim this year is going to fall in during Adar 2, which is down around the 20th or 21st day of March. So we'll be teaching on that in the very near future. And let me tell you, boys, there's some things in there. Pastor Donna loves the book of Esther, don't you?
Well, I certainly do. It's one of my favorite books.
That's right. And God's name's not mentioned one time.
Not one time. But he's all, everywhere.
His signature's on every page. So we're honored to be here with you. And we thank all of you that listen on a regular basis. Some of you we've never heard from, but some of you we hear from time to time. So give us a call and let us know that you've enjoyed it or all. And that encourages us to go on. So
you know that phone number too. They can also text us a little note and say, "Hey, yeah. I heard you. I enjoyed it." We're also on Facebook right now, and I see Michael's on. He's been on several times watching us, and so it's just wonderful to be able to be on Facebook as well. So, but this radio broadcast is being broadcast on Saturday at 12 noon, every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just bless the Lord. And we also have Shabbat this afternoon. Every Saturday we have Shabbat at 2 o'clock. So if you can come to our Sabbath service at 2 o'clock, I see Margie's on and Melvin. Hallelujah. So we're just praying for Margie and Melvin right now because Margie's usually here with us. But she needs some prayer. Her sister is in the hospital and very needs some prayer. So if you would think about, her name is Debbie, please pray for Debbie. Debbie and Margie is Margie's sister. And so she needs some prayer. God is able to do above and beyond all we could ever think or ask.
That's right. Hallelujah.
It's good to see these people come on and people are enjoying it on Facebook, getting texts from them. And so you can text us at that phone that Pastor Gene gave you, area code 772-285-7007. And please keep us in prayer as well. We're still in the healing, men, but we're still on WCNO.
Hallelujah.
And I do want to thank the people that have given already, that have given to this broadcast.
Thank you,
some
Lord.
Some have paid for a whole program. But, it's
bless
just
them,
a
Lord.
Blessing. And if any of you want to give an offering towards it, every penny will go to this radio station. So for our radio program, it's $165 for every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that adds up. It's $6-something a month if we have
4 months.
Five weeks.
If it's 5 weeks, it's $825 a month.
That's right. So I think this month may be a five-weeker. Right. I'm not sure. But anyways, we're going to be in Ezekiel, right?
Again, right, where we left off last week. We're going to finish this up.
So we're
yes.
going to talk about that. And the Lord's been speaking to me about some things in Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
about how it's a Bible all on its own of all the 66 books. So we may start doing some teachings from Isaiah. So keep us in prayer, please, and come visit us. We meet today at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church, and that's on Osceola. 445 Osceola Street. That's right near the hospital, downtown Stewart. Okay, God bless you all. And I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andrews
yes,
Island.
Yes, hello, my dear brother and
we
sister.
Just thank the Lord. We're building a church over there. They're building a church. The name is called the Temple of God. If you'd like to give money towards that, I can send you a picture of what it's looking like. Amen. I'll even post one on my Facebook so you can see. It is a Temple of God, and so the roof is going to be going on very shortly. Everything is done except the getting that roof on, so we need finances for the roof, and I thank those who have already given towards that as well.
And a blessing this today, didn't they?
Yes, I thank God. I thank Paradell for giving us that, giving them that nice offering in Jesus' name.
That's right. So it all adds up, so they're working on it. So we bless them in Yeshua's name, and we know they're doing the work, and they're an incredible couple, and we just love them so much, and we're glad to be part of their ministry, and they're part of us because we are united together in the
Amen.
Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, how? In the bond of peace. That's what we want, and so we are with them, and we should be that way with everyone that's in the body of Christ. No difference. We should be like-minded. Well, anyway, we love you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the rest of the program. And we're here because we love God, and we want to lift up His word so people might know. Well, if you listened to us last week, we got talking about this time called Gog and Magog that everybody's talking about. And we went through quite a bit of the, covered all of chapter 38. And we know Gog is the man's name and Magog was the land. So we don't need to go all through that again. But there's some interesting things of the nations that were mentioned in all this. And we mentioned last week that we saw a thing on the internet of they had a meeting someplace in the world with a culmination of some of the nations, and they had a picture of three that's really caught our eye because it was the prime or the Ayatollah from Iran, the Russian prime minister, and also Turkey. And we know people forget about Turkey a little bit. So those three nations are very key. And so it kind of gets you, here we are. And as we closed the program last week, a lot of people talk about this Gog and Magog and try to determine when it is. Well, I've been doing some studying. I got up early this morning, and I went back and went through some material that I've had over the years and went in, and I've come to the conclusion that I had before. I didn't see anything different. I believe this is what's going to happen. Now, I'm not going to cast this in concrete, so don't be concerned about it. This is what I see personally by looking at the prophetic word. I believe that this Gog and Magog is going to come right after the catching away, or the resurrection now from among the dead, and the catching away of the true saints. Okay, then it's going to happen. And
thank God.
It's the will
I
be,
hope that's
we'll,
how it is.
We will be gone when that comes.
We'll
okay?
be in heaven. We'll be in heaven.
That's right.
We'll be caught away. As
right.
King James Bible says, we'll be caught we all away. Caught away.
No thing.
With
no,
that cloud of witnesses.
Yeah, no such thing as rapture. That word's been added by man. It's called caught away. Amen.
Right.
And so that'll clarify some things that we start here. You can see where I'm coming from then, that I believe this is the way it's going to be. And by the way, before we get into this, I want you to turn over to, let's go to the book of Revelation, Pastor Donna.
Oh, good. I hope we do some more things in the New Testament. A lot of people, we have to see how this all gets fulfilled, don't
you're
we?
You're going to see this
and,
real quick.
We'll see this real quick.
So this event called Gog and Magog is on the very near future. It's just, we're almost there. And we mentioned last week that God's been silent for a lot of years. But if we go...
Right near the very end, right?
Near the very
end.
Because
we're coming to the end, aren't we?
That's right. If we go to chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, if we didn't have this chapter, we wouldn't know how long the kingdom of God was going to last. It mentions six times in here that the kingdom of God is going to last for what? 6,000 years. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm thinking of the 6,000 year plan. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that.
1,000.
It shows that we, six times it shows that this 1,000 year reign will be 1,000 years and nothing less.
Six times it shows that.
Six times. That's man's number. So he's showing us how important those 1,000 years will be. But the end of this, I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, now when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. This is the end of what? The millennial reign. He's going to be loosed out of his prison. I'm in verse 7. And verse 8 says, and I shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners quarters of the earth. Same thing we've been reading over here with Israel,
Gog and Magog,
the same thing. Now it mentions Gog and Magog. It's not those two. It's not that man and that land. Back then, it was just that the one we're talking about today in Ezekiel 39 is a pattern of what's going to happen in the future as well.
So it's talking about the area, right?
That's right. To gather them together to make battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The same thing we're going to read and have read already in Ezekiel 38 and 39, what's going to happen just prior to Jacob's trouble, okay?
And we're going to get to see the devil cast
into a lake of fire.
Amen. And brimstone.
And then verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. So here, what we're seeing in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a pattern of what's going to happen after the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign. It's interesting. I always used to say, God, why would you lose the devil and his group and let them do that? Because it tells you right here in chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. Now we got all the names for the enemy here. The dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that, he must be loosed a little season. And that's what we just read.
Amen.
So we have the pattern of this, of Gog and Magog. It's going to be a coalition of nations and people that don't want to do what God's showing in this day at the end even. And what's going to happen? God's going to bring down fire and brimstone, just like we see here over in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
That's right. And, you know, our president was over in North Korea.
Well, he wasn't in North Korea.
No, I mean,
he was in Vietnam.
With the North Koreans.
Right.
And I'm glad he walked away because, you know.
Make a bad deal.
You can't make a bad deal. And I'm pray that he doesn't make bad deals. He's made them in the past in his life. But, we, you know, God's put him in that place. So we need to pray for our president. And, you know, since we're right here in the book of Revelation, I just like to read one verse because this is the verse that the Lord gave Pastor Gene, because we were teaching in times and teaching prophecy. And this was 25 years ago. The Lord gave him this for the name of our church. And it's in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation.
Yep.
And verse 10. And it says here, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, See thou, do it not, I am thy fellow servant." So it was a fellow servant.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "And of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." So we are here to give the testimony of Jesus and the prophecies that Jesus had.
That's
but
right.
Also the prophetic word for today, because this book is full of prophetic words that are bringing us to these end times so that we can see and know what's going to happen in the last days. So what it says here is, this is what the Lord gave Pastor Gene. Worship God. That's who we worship.
That's right.
Jesus told us that.
Bob, hey.
We worship God. And who is God? Jesus is God. Yeshua
right.
is God.
Mm-hmm.
Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So prophecy is very, very important, isn't
That's right.
it?
And I think a lot of people in the church take it kind of lightly because they say, well, we don't know when all this is going to happen. It's way in the future or whatever, but we don't know. But we know the time of the year when all these events are going to happen on one particular year, because the Bible makes it clear. All we don't have, what we don't have in the equation is we don't have what year we're on for sure, but we're getting very close.
We're closer than we were yesterday.
That's right. So we tell people to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh every day.
It also says in the book of Revelation that he's coming for those who are looking for him.
That's right.
So are we have to be looking for him. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't just play being a Christian. No, we have to live being a Christian, and
that's right.
We need to be looking for him. Because he wants to come back, and he wants to catch us away, and he wants to take all of those that
that's
we get
right.
sealed, and then
mm-hmm.
we would go with him.
That's right.
The catching away. So if you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't asked him in your heart, you haven't turned your life over to him, this is a good day to do it on
sure
the Sabbath.
Is.
This is a good day to give your life to the Lord.
Some people, so I can hear somebody thinking right now, honey, that my life's been such a mess. I've done this, I've done that, and nothing's ever worked out. But, you know, I'm just telling you, you can start over today. You can start over and have a whole new life starting today when you come to the Messiah. When you come to Christ, he'll come in and he can take away all the weakness, all the things that you're struggling with, and you turn your life over to him and allow him to work, and you'll be amazed. You're going to look back one day and say, wow, look what the Lord has done. And he'll do it for everybody. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care what color you are, what nationality you are. He doesn't care where you're from. He loves everybody. He created everyone. He wants us all to know that. He loves every single person on this earth, whether they know it or believe it, but it's there. He wants us all to come. That's his prayer. What's it say? What did Peter say? Huh? That all would come to repentance, right? Not one would be lost. That all would come to repentance and come to the Messiah. That's what God's purpose would he like to see happen. But the Bible here tells us that it's not. And then we got the group out there that says, we're going to make it so much better here in our country and everywhere else that, before the Lord comes back. Well, if we did all that, we wouldn't need the Lord to come back. But the Bible, my Bible I read, says it's going to get worse, right, Pastor? Things are going to happen, whether you like it or not. So we got to be strong in the things of the Lord and trust him. As we do, we know we're going to be overcomers. Jesus, I've overcome, so you can overcome. And look what he went through. I haven't went through anything compared to what he went through. None of us have, okay? And so we have to remember that. And he did it all for you and I. If we'd been the only person on the earth, he'd been willing to do that for, because the Father sent him. Hallelujah. He sent him. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what it was all about. That's what he came to do. And so that was his purpose. So he got a hold of Donna and I. Years ago now, almost 35 years ago, that we made that choice to step out. And our lives changed. We went through some struggles. Don't tell me or think that we didn't, but we did. But God carried us through. We've gone through all this misery right now. We've been going through this past year or so with this illness we've been battling with. But I'll tell you, I keep telling my wife too, we're getting better. We're overcomers. And we're going to win because God's on our side. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Father.
That's right. So let's go to chapter 39 now. And this is where God's going to start talking about the judgment on Gog. So let's start in verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit here.
Ezekiel 39. King James Bible.
Right. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog. Remember, that's the man's name. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. So they were in control. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. So their whole purpose is to do what? To destroy the nation of Israel. That's the purpose of it. And we mentioned this last week, so it pays to do it again, because we never should get tired of hearing this. We know there's going to be a coalition of nations. It's going to come from the north. And a lot of people think, you know, it's going to be Russia, Key, I should say, in a key position. But Turkey's directly north of Israel. Could it be from Turkey? And we mentioned those three leaders. They were together in that meeting that they had, and Turkey was one of them. So we don't want to take Turkey out of the equation. So anyway, this was the plan that the enemy has, and they were going to bring all these people from these other nations are going to go to the mountains of Israel and on the north side, and they're going to begin to move in, and they want to come in and destroy Israel. But the key thing is this, that Israel, with all their mighty army, you know, the IDF and all that, they won't have to use any weapons, no airplanes, no bombs, no rockets, no nothing, because God's going to bring something from heaven that we just read about. A duplication of this will be in the future in Revelation chapter 20. What? Fire and brimstone's going to come down, and God's going to destroy it himself. And you know what it is? We mentioned last week that God's been silent all these years. He's about ready to release the silence, and he's going to start doing some things, and people's going to realize. And I think part of this also, the Gog and Magog invasion, is to bring an eye-opener to the entire world, not just for Israel as well. They're going to know something has happened that's very dynamic. How could they have won this without lifting one weapon in their hands? But God's going to do it. He says so. Now, we left on let's look at verse 3 now. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thy arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Makes me think what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 19 over there, when all the birds of fowl is going to come and eat all the dead flesh at Armageddon. But, you know, a lot of people think that Ezekiel 38 and 39, a lot of Bible teachers think this is talking about Armageddon at the end. This is not about Armageddon. This is something that's going to happen before that. Okay? So you got to keep that in mind. Now, verse 5, thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I love that. And I will send a fire on Magog, that's the land, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The isles means the seashore area and all that. So what does the word carelessly mean in this particular case? It means they're confident. They're so strong in their confidence and their opinion what's going to happen. But they're going to find out.
Sure of themselves.
They're very sure. But
pride.
They're going to find out that God's going to break all that. So I'm going to read that again. And I will send a fire on Magog. This is the land. And among them that dwell carelessly, or we can say confidently, in the isles along the seashore, and they shall know that I am the Lord. You're going to hear this over and over, that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. Hear this? And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. So when he talks about the heathens here, these are all the Gentiles.
Okay. Yeah.
So look at that. So will I, I'll read it again. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. He's even going to do that with us, the Gentiles, the Holy One in Israel. So there's a thing here called about polluting his holy name. You know, there's a huge group in Israel today, Jewish people, because I've been there twice, don't even believe there's a God. Don't believe in Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Now that you mention Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, when we see this in the King James Bible,
and all capitals.
We're reading this, they're all capitals, capital L, capital O-R-D. That's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
That's right.
And so I'm just going to read verse 7 because this is a little bit different in this next verse. I believe it's 7, or is it, no, it's 8.
8, go ahead.
8, behold, it is come, and it is done.
Hallelujah.
That reminds me, that makes me think that Jesus said, it is finished.
It's finished.
It is done. It is finished.
That's right.
You know, all through this book and others, the book of Isaiah and other books, there's prophetic words about our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we want to look to some deeper things, he says, it is done, saith the Lord God. Now you see there, if you're looking in your Bible, that Lord is lowercase. It's the lower.
Right.
It's a capital L.
That's Adonai.
Then lowercase O-R-D.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And then God is all capitals.
That's right.
All capitals. And he says, then it says, this is the day whereof I have spoken. Well, God said it was going to happen.
That's right.
And we know in the future, we know it's already happened. It hadn't happened yet here in Ezekiel, but the prophetic word says it has happened. And, you know, in God's eyes and in his heart and in his mind, these things have happened because they've already been planned from the very foundation.
That's right.
Even our life was planned from the very foundation. You know, we were with him at one point until we went into our mother's womb and became a baby, and then was born.
He knew we were going to come.
He the seed was there.
Mm-hmm.
The seed for everything that lives was within God, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost created all these things, and we can read that back in the book of Genesis. So all these things from the very beginning to the very end, as far as God is concerned, it's finished. It's done.
That's right. It's a finished deal.
It's finished. Nothing's going to be changed.
That's right.
You can't change
His word.
Anything in His word.
Whatever He said
and
is going to happen.
There are a lot of Bibles out there that are changing the
That's
things
right.
in His word. For one, they're saying it's okay to be gay, right? And there are churches that are wanting to ordain gay and homosexual people. Another, it's okay to kill babies.
Right.
They did that in the Old Testament too, didn't they?
That's right.
It says that'll happen again. And what's happened in our nation? The killing of babies.
Over 60 million at this point in time.
And also in God's land, Israel, abortion is legal. So my prayer is that let Israel rise up and be a leader and let them abolish abortion completely. So we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
That's right.
Because, you know, if they abolish that abortion in Israel, there's got a lot of people that won't like that. So it will want to stop the peace. But we need to pray for our Benjamin Netanyahu and that he would stop abortion, and that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray that God's land would be cleansed.
That's right.
And that the land of America, our land, would be cleansed, would follow suit and abolish abortion. Well, maybe we could abolish it first. I don't know. But we just need to pray that we would abolish these ungodly things that are going on in our country. And I only mentioned two. There's many, many. The things that they are teaching the children in school from preschool about sex is disgusting. And it's taking children... it's ruining lives. It's ruining lives of babies. And the music, the singers, I think about, was her name? It has this new clothing line for children. It's all black and white and crosses
Celestion.
And demons. Right. Okay. I wasn't going to say her name, but I guess we should say her name. That's nothing but the devil. That's witchcraft. And I used to love her music, but you know, I look at her now and I say, this is the enemy has gotten hold of her. It's nothing but witchcraft. And even in the video where she advertises, it's witchcraft. I know I kind of interrupted here the thought that you were going on, Gene.
All right.
But we need to know that God is going to take care of these things. Not only Gog and Magog, but he's going to take care of the stuff that's going on right now in the nations?
A lot.
A lot.
This verse you just read, verse 8, it says at the end of it, it says, I have spoken. Well, look at chapter 38 we read last week, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time?
Mm-hmm.
By my servants, the prophets of Israel, right, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them. There you are.
There you
it's go. Also repeated in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 29, talking about the same thing.
So the things that God has said and that—
it's going to happen.
It's all going to happen, and he uses prophets to speak these things forth. Mm-hmm. That's why they're in our Bible, and that's why we need to stay with the King James Bible, so
that's
we
right.
don't get any confusion.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we read verse 8. Let's look at verse 9 now. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both of the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire for 7 years. They have enough wood that's going to, from all these weapons, they will burn for 7 years. Now let's go on. Verse 10, so they shall take no wood out of the field. Won't be cutting down any more trees for a while. Neither cut down any of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers. These passengers, these are people, that travelers are going through the land on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses. How they came up with noses. It's really probably, well, your mouth is right under your nose. So it's really stopped the mouths of the passengers or these travelers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. Hamon Gog, that was the name of the valley. And verse 12, and in 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. They had to bury them all. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall never, forgive me, and they shall sever out men of continual employment. They're going to hire people to go out and find all these dead people to get them buried, passing through the land to bury with the passengers, these travelers, those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. They're going to search and to really find them all.
Well, you know why the noses is mentioned, Pastor Gene?
Why?
Well, what happens when you have fire? You can't breathe.
That's right.
You can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, the smoke and everything, it would kill them. It would get in their lungs. It would kill them.
Good thought.
Death.
Yeah, could do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 15 says, and the passengers, or these travelers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Hamona, it means multitude, is what that word means in the Hebrew. There's a multitude of people going to be dead. Thus shall they cleanse the land. Verse 17, and thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice. Whose sacrifice? God's the one that's going to do this. That I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat the flesh and drink blood. And drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs and goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. So these are things that's going to happen at the end here. And you shall eat fat till you be full, and drink blood till you be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Now, do you think that people are going to actually drink blood out there? This is symbolic of death and what the conclusion of all it can bring. Verse 20, thus you shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I like verse 21, and I will set my glory among the heathen, or the Gentiles. And all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. So I'm saying this verse is giving us a clue that all the Gentiles in the world that aren't Jewish, that are not in Israel, they're going to see something's happened here. And what's it going to do? It's going to bring a glory to God among those people. They're going to say, "Wow, this must be the true God.
This is the God of Israel."
That's right. We're going to see this at the conclusion of this.
Yeshua is the God.
That's right. Now, verse 22. "So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. And the heathen," here we go, "shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for what? For their iniquity," sin.
Or sin.
"Because they trespassed against me, therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword." So look at it. The Jews went into captivity because of what? Their iniquity. Look where our country's at right now. You talk about iniquity, to me, is a word that means to twist and pervert what God's put in place. And that's what we have today.
Sin.
You were talking about the abortion issue. The big issue is, when does life start? Does it start when it's conceived or when it's born? It's God's word says it's life starts conceived. When it's conceived. You're known in the mother's womb, huh?
And Jewish people believe that as well.
That's
because
right.
Because they, and so we would think it'd be even worse for them to kill children, because they believe that, and they when the child is born, it's already a certain age.
That's right.
A year old, I believe.
Yeah. Now, verse 24, "According to their uncleanliness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them." This is what's going to happen to a lot of people in America as well when this all comes to pass, because they're out doing their own thing, committing sin, all the stuff that we have going on today, that the Bible calls an abomination to him.
We're in a very sad place.
We sure are. Now, verse 25, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob." What was Jacob's name changed to? To Israel, wasn't it? "And have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name." He's jealous not for the people, but for his name, because it's been disrespected and all. Verse 26, "After that, they have borne their shame and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me when they dwelt safely in the land, and none made them afraid. When I brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations." He's going to bring it out for a reason, that they're going to see that God's going to be sanctified and set apart. They'll know that there's no God except him. We're going to find this out in just a minute. "Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen." See, he used the heathen to teach Israel to walk a holy right life, right?
Right.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, they were the ones that had the Jews in captivity for 70 years. See what it says? "Led them in, and caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them into their own land and have left none of them any more there." Now here's the key verse. "Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God." So that was the whole purpose. He's showing us all this. And we can go on, with chapter 40 and all that. But these are the two chapters that talk about Gog and Magog. Now I want to...
I think about Jesus here in verse 29 when you said that, "For I have poured out
my spirit." You got it.
"Upon the house of Israel, saith mm-hmm. the Lord."
That's right.
And he did. He poured out his life's blood.
Sure did.
His life's blood for his brethren. He came for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But Israel, what did they do? They rejected him. But he is still loves them.
That's right.
And he is still, they're going to see the Messiah. They're going to see the one whom was pierced, whom was beaten, whom was crucified.
That's right.
They're going to see him, and they're going to know. Then they will know, and their eyes will be opened. Their eyes have been shut for a period, for a time.
That's
They've
right.
been blinded for a time. Because mm-hmm. they rejected the Lord, they were blinded. They weren't blinded because God hated them, but they were blinded because God loves the world. He loves the Gentiles. He loves the other nations. That other people from other nations would come to Messiah, would come to the Lord Jesus. So for a time, they've been blinded. But he says their eyes are going to be opened, and they're going to see the one whom
they pierced. That's what it says in Zechariah. That's right. Yeah. So I was going to go back to the book of Revelation here now. Okay. You got something else you want to share there.
Oh, that's good.
Chapter 19. As Donna mentioned, this is my favorite, really my favorite chapter in the entire Bible, because that's how we got the name of our church, Revelation 19:10. Worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. I'm going to start in verse 11 of chapter 19, right after what we just read. Listen to this. We're going to read a little bit. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That can only be one person. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Wonder what that name will be. We'll find out someday. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That makes it quite clear who it is, isn't
it? That's it, Word of God. Mm-hmm.
And then what John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. And is God.
Amen.
So he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. Revelation chapter 14 talks about the grapes of wrath. When judgment will come, this is the blood that's going to be shown and dipped on him, because what's going to happen, the judgment that will come, there'll be lots of bloodshed.
It'll be a great army.
Yeah. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That's all you and I that are believers in the Messiah, and also all the good angels that are either clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. These are all the Gentile nations. So what would come out of his mouth? His word. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You can read this in Revelation 14, what's going to happen. Glory be to God. Sharp sword shall rule them with a rod of iron. Won't be what people think or what man wants. It's going to be what God has said, and it will come to pass. You can mark it down. Whew. And he had, verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you know the Yeshua right now, your Messiah, then you know to you he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
That's right.
And I saw an angel standing in the sun, verse 17. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. We read this over in Ezekiel chapter 39. Come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So what beast would this be? This is the false Messiah. Verse 20, and the beast was taken, this is the false Messiah, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Isn't that incredible when you think about this?
You know, if you go back and you read 38, where we were at in Ezekiel 38, it talks about these things. It talks about
the brimstone,
the sword.
The sword. That's right.
And it talks about these things. You know, you can put it together.
That's right. It all fits together.
And, you know, I remember hearing Perry Stone say a long time ago that many, many fowls or birds of prey
are called back to that valley.
Being called back to that valley. And what is that valley called? The Valley of Megiddo? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And so you wouldn't think there'd be that many fowls to eat up that much meat and blood.
Now, he told us that when we went with his team. The first time we went to Israel, we went with Perry Stone. We were at that valley, and he was telling us about that. Well, think how many years ago that was now.
And he said,
and there's more birds coming.
They fly through there.
All the vultures and everything are coming, yeah.
Yeah,
ready to eat all the flesh. That's right. So it's a sad situation for the world if they don't wake up and understand that they need Christ more than their next breath. But a lot of people take it very lightly, don't they?
I sure do.
Sure do. So we talked about Gog and Magog over in Revelation chapter 20. It's not going to be the same as it happened back in Ezekiel 38 and 39, but it's a pattern in Ezekiel 38 and 39 to show what's going to happen again. There's going to be a rebellion at the end, and God's going to do the same thing. It tells us in chapter 20, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And you know, there's teachings in the body of Christ today that hell's a temporary abode. The book I read don't say there's nothing temporary about this. This is a place we need. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, boy. That's what people got to keep in mind. So this is an urgent time. People need to remember that. Could it be? Could it be? Could we go tomorrow? We don't know for sure, do we? Could we? Huh? Could it be today? Like Pastor Tom just told us out there, he says, "He just let him come today.
Are we ready? Are we ready?
Are we ready?
That's the key thing.
The key
whether
thing,
it's tomorrow.
Are you ready? That's it.
Or next year. Are we ready? We need to be ready all the time, because it says he's coming for those who are looking for him
to come.
And a lot of people aren't really looking for him to come. They're looking for things that they want to do, their own pleasures.
That's right.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with pleasures, but we need to put God first.
Can't let those things control your life, though. Amen? There's nothing wrong with it, as long as it doesn't control your life. But we mentioned chapter 20 here. Six times, God mentions how long the millennial reign is going to be, for 1,000 years. If we didn't have that, no other place in the Bible does it reveal 1,000 years directly. But here, six times, man's number, he tells us it's going to last for 1,000 years. Amen? And then which says here in verse 7, that when those years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and bring all this havoc on the earth again.
I don't understand that, but what a shame.
I don't either. But it says he's going to be loosed for a season. I always thought about this. You know, our Messiah, he was given 3.5 years to accomplish what God sent him to. Do you think he's going to let the devil have more time than he had? It might be for 3.5 years.
I don't know.
And the rebellion we put down. Let's hope not. I don't think the Lord's going to give me any more time than he had. I wouldn't think, you know. But anyway, it's amazing when we think about all these things that put in place. And
think
I really
about that happening, because 1,000 years of what? Of peace,
right,
and safety, and all the animals and the children. It talks about in Isaiah, all the protection and everything.
That's right.
But it's what's going to happen. God's going to show that the man's heart is still wicked. It can still turn
you
and
got
be
it.
Wicked. And so, you know, it's a testing. It's a testing. Because he's going to allow the enemy to come out, the devil to come out, and what? Men and people, even when things were wonderful and things were going well, you know, like with different people in the Old Testament and just different things that we can read about, then all of a sudden, look at David. All of a sudden, their hearts get turned to the wrong way.
I think about Solomon. You know, here he was, the wisest man that God put on the earth. He led all these pagan women that he married, built altars and all that in Jerusalem.
High places.
With 700 wives and 300 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you didn't have the book of Ecclesiastes, you'd think Solomon was lost. But he returned to God and realized how wrong he was. But you can't. How could someone that was touched by God like that could ever think that way? But he did, and he let those women influence him in that area. And you think about during the millennial reign, think about how many children will be born during that 1,000-year reign. And so they'll all have to come to know Christ as well. They have to come to the Messiah as well. And so you can think about what it says over there about this coalition of people that's going to come against God at that particular time. Because a lot of people will be saved, but there's going to be a lot of people that won't be saved. But the key thing is the enemy wants to stop all those, anybody, from coming to the Messiah. So there's going to be a lot of children born during that time. And as I said, and they're going to grow up. They're going to have to come to the place, and one day they'll have to accept the Messiah, or they'll be lost also at the great white throne judgment that comes at the very end.
Mm.
So you wonder. So God knows man's heart. He knows that all these people will be born during that time, but down inside, they still have wickedness in their heart. They just can't, you know, they want to control everything. They want to run their own lives. They want to do what they want to do. And so you think about this, you know, as we're getting ready to close the program. You're just listening today. Maybe you're running your life right now, and you're listening to this, and you're saying, boy, my life has really been a mess. I've done this, I've done that. But you know, in a moment of time, you can start all over again. You can start all over in a minute of time, ask him to come in. And I'm not saying it's going to be a bowl of roses, you know, going on. But the thing is, he'll come in, he'll turn some furniture upside down in your heart, put something new in there, and you'll become that new creature in Christ Jesus. And all the old things will be passed away. So you can start over today. Today is the day of salvation. Doesn't matter what you think. Maybe you've known the Lord in the past, and you walked away, and you haven't went to church, and you just happen to stop on the radio dial here today, and you're listening to this program. God's just giving you an urge right now. Come back to me. My arm is never too short. I'll always allow you to come back. Just reach out to him, and he'll meet you at your point of need, and he'll pull you in there. You know, I believe he's got a hook in everybody's jaw. He wants them to come. You know, he's a fisherman of men, and that's what the disciples went out to do. They quit their fishing trade to fish for men. And so we're doing that with you today, and we trust it. Maybe you're in that place. Maybe you're struggling. You don't know what to do. And maybe you've never asked the Lord to come into your life. But today could be that start that would change your whole thought pattern and who you look to in your life more than anything else and what's most important. And you that have known the Lord and maybe have walked away for maybe 6 months or a year or longer, you're getting an urge right now from the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
He's calling. He's wooing you back. He's calling you back. He's calling you back. Back home. Back home to me, the Lord says. Come to me. My burden is light. Come to me, and I'll carry you through all your troubles that you're going through. But see, people get out, and they try to do things on their own. Now, some things might work out, but most of the time, things don't work out. But if we do it God's way, it will always work out because he's got a purpose for all of us. The day that Donna and I came, we're miracles. We got saved on the same day. The day that we came, from that moment, our life was never the same from that day on. I mean, it totally changed completely. My whole thought pattern, everything about I knew was gone. And I was running my own life. I thought I could do about whatever I wanted to do, and it was going to be accepted. You know, well, I wasn't such a bad person. I hadn't done this, I hadn't done that, but I was a sinner. And so he called me one day by his grace. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. So you listen. If you haven't done it, just say yes to him. He sent his only begotten son into this world for you, that you might have a privilege to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise that he has. All you have to do is say, God, I've failed. I know I need a Savior, and your Son is my Savior. I know he died. I know now that he rose on the third day, shed his blood for me, for my sins to be washed away. So we thank you, Lord. That's what just thanking for your salvation. I remember that day I talked about last week when I got saved and on the side of the road and was running home in the rain. Push, mondalaba, serikasroko sandaraba. I mean, it's like I had a 100-pound weight drop off my back. I can't tell you. I mean, there was just a freedom that came, and I thought I was okay. But see, I wasn't okay. 42 years old, I could have dropped dead, and I've been lost. I was in Vietnam, and if I would have got killed over there, I would have been lost because I didn't know you, Lord. But see, his mercy, his grace, and he knows where all of us are at. So he's wooing everyone. He's wooing every one of you listening to this program today to come unto me. I'm your answer to everything in your life. And if you do, you'll never regret it. We got three or four people sitting here with us today, and we all had a particular day that we came, and we don't regret one day. I don't regret one day from that day that I came, and I've never looked back. You know, Jesus said, if you come and if you're plowing a field and you start looking back, well, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. The past is the past. Paul had to march on. Paul had to march on and do what God wanted him to do, and he was so concerned and he would not fail the Lord in any way, shape, or form. And when you come to him, that's where you'll be. You will not want to fail him. You will want to please him. His commandments are not burdensome because you love him, and you do it and you keep them because you love him. Not because you have to. You do it because you love him. And so come today if you haven't done that. Give us a call. Give us a call. Call that number, area code 772 285 7007. We'd love to talk with you, or at the radio station here. You can call somebody. They'll talk to you here as well.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. And
we thank the Lord.
To talk about the things that are important in life.
Amen. We thank the Lord that we are able to be on this radio station,
yes.
WCNO, and also on the internet, and it goes worldwide. So just pray for WCNO and
yes.
lift them up. And if you would like to help out with this radio broadcast, you can call us at area code 772-285-7007. And if you'd like to help with an offering, this broadcast costs us $165 a week. So we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. So if you'd like to help out with that, we certainly would appreciate it.
Help. Thank you, Lord.
To stay on the program. God has always been faithful. We've been on here for, 21 years plus?
Yep.
So we're just blessed to be here, and we thank the Lord for WCNO and for those who run this station. And so pray for them, pray for us, and we just give God the glory, because he's the one who receives all the glory, because it's his word, right, Pastor Gene?
Right.
It's,
yep.
it's him. Amen. So glory to God.
I got two scriptures I
okay.
want to read here.
Okay.
Now, I just quoted one of them off from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. But look at the next verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You listen to that? You all listening to me out here in radio land? To condemn the world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. What are we saved from? From our sins, but also from the destruction that's going to come at the end. The wrath of God will never touch any of us because we belong to the Messiah.
So do you believe? That would be the question,
right?
Do you believe? So if you believe, receive, and find a good Bible teaching church, and you know, give us a call. Give the radio station a call here at the radio station. What is the phone number
221-1100,
here? 221-1100. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. We just still have one more minute, Pastor Gene. And we forgot to bring that shofar in. We were going to blow that.
That's all right.
But, you know, you're all shofar for the Lord. So you can
all
go out, a voice, and bring people to the Lord and share the gospel with people and lead them to Jesus. Amen? Because he's the only way.
No other way.
No other way. No other truth. This is the only truth. There's no other book where you're going to find truth. People look for truth in so many places. Just pick up a Bible, and we would suggest a King James Bible.
You got your truth.
Start reading the Bible, the Word of God, and find somebody to help you be
the truth will make you free. Amen.
So we're blessed to be here. We have services this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church. So we would say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest. And the phone number once again is 285-7007.
So we tell you every week as we close, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
Shabbat Shalom.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.